Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on the end times.
This week on our programs, we are looking at the subject of the rapture of the church. And what I'm trying to do is give you the best arguments from Scripture to show that the church will be raptured before the tribulation period begins. And today what I want to focus in on is the very purpose or the very nature of the tribulation period. I've heard the argument quoted so often that why should the church in the last generation be able to escape tribulation when all generations leading up to that point have been through persecution? Well, first of all, I think that shows a lack of understanding of what the Bible says the tribulation period is all about. First of all, Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, verse 21, it's like no other time since there has been a nation. So Jesus made this seven-year tribulation period saying you can't compare it to any other time period upon the face of the earth. And that truly bears out within Scripture. The nature of the tribulation period is clearly defined within Scripture. The focus on the tribulation period to describe its nature is the word wrath. So often people want to focus on the Antichrist and these other events that are going to happen within the wars and Armageddon, but from God's perspective, he calls it the time in which he pours out his wrath. And that's the most common word that appears when describing this time period. And in the book of Revelation, actually, it's described as wrath in Revelation chapter 6, verses 16 through 17, in Revelation chapter 11, verse 18, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 19, Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, in Revelation chapter 15, verse 7, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 1, and in Revelation chapter 16, verse 19. It's all called the wrath of God. Now, I know that you're not going to remember all those, but I pointed all those out to show you how frequently the tribulation period is called the wrath of God. And I want to read one of those in Revelation chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And here's what the people say. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And so here the emphasis within the Scriptures, especially in the book of Revelation, that the seven-year tribulation period is a time when God will pour out his wrath. It's also described in these other ways. It's a time of judgment. According to Revelation chapter 14, verse 17, 15, 4, 16, 5 through 7, and 19, 2. And then the book of Isaiah calls it a time of indignation, which is another term for wrath. Also, Isaiah calls it a time of punishment. In Revelation 3:10, it's called the hour of trial. In Jeremiah 30, verse 7, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. In Joel 1:15, it's called a time of destruction. And then in Joel 2:2 and other places, it's called a time of darkness. So the nature of the tribulation period is not a time where the church is purified, where the Antichrist rises up to bring a greater depth of holiness to the church or to bring persecution upon the believer. That will take place. But it's a time in which God says, I'm bringing everything to an end. I'm stepping in here. I have 7 years in which I am going to demonstrate my anger, my fury, my indignation, my judgment upon a world that has rejected me, and I will directly judge sin. So the primary focus is a time when God will pour his wrath out upon the entire world. Now, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, this great promise, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We as believers are not destined for that time because it is a time of wrath. We're not under the wrath of God. Jesus paid our debt in full. He had God's wrath poured out upon him on the cross. So now we're immune from the wrath of God because we are in Christ Jesus. So that's why the church is not going to go through this time period, because it's not designed for us. It's designed for another group of people that the Bible clearly predicts in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament who this time is predicted for. I'm going to give you two passages in the Old Testament that we'll look at, and then one in the New Testament, which clearly describes who this time period is for. And the clearest passage in the Old Testament is found in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, but we'll read a couple of the other verses right in the section to give you the setting. So Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5 through 7 reads this way. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces have turned pale? Obviously a description of judgment. Alas, for that day is great. When the scripture speaks of that day, it's talking about that time of wrath, that tribulation period. And here Jeremiah even says in verse 7, so none is like it, the very words of Jesus. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So here Jeremiah predicting the tribulation period, he says it's the time of Jacob's trouble. And what he's saying here, because Jacob's name was changed to Israel, it's a time when Israel will be in trouble, where they will go through this time of persecution and wrath, but yet God is going to save many of the Jews out of that time period. That's why we see in Revelation the 144,000 Jews. It's 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. It has nothing to do with those individuals that come to you with briefcases on Saturday morning. It's 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, where God says, I'm going to save Israel out of it. And then they are described the first fruits. And the first fruit is basically the first of many more to come. So there's going to be multitudes of Jews saved during that time, just as predicted in the Old Testament. So the tribulation period is not a New Testament doctrine, which is first described in the New Testament. Actually, it's predicted in the Old Testament. Then the New Testament adds details as to the events of when and how they're going to take place there in the New Testament scriptures. But is predicted as a time of Jacob's trouble. The other passage which clearly predicts the tribulation period in the Old Testament is found in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And it speaks of a week or a seven-year period in verse 27 where the Antichrist will make a covenant with many for 1 7-year period, but in the middle of the week, he'll bring an end to sacrifice and offering and commit the abomination of desolation. That's where we read about in 2 Thessalonians, where he'll actually go into the temple and want to be worshipped as God and demand it of those in the world. But before that, in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9, it says 70 weeks are determined, and here he says, for your people and for your holy city. But in, earlier in verse 24, it describes who this time period is for, where in verse 24 it says, for your people and for your holy city. And here it was an angel that was speaking to Daniel. And your people are obviously the Jews, and your holy city is obviously Jerusalem. And so this tribulation period was designed ultimately by God, not for the church to purify them, not to bring a greater depth of holiness, and then ultimately we go to heaven, but it was designed for the nation of Israel and for the city of Jerusalem. Because during that seven-year period, what the Lord is going to do is he will bring salvation to many of those in Israel. And then when he comes back at the second coming, he'll establish his kingdom there on the seat of David there in the city of Jerusalem. So it's all designed for God to reclaim his people as well as the territory that he gave them. And so the tribulation period, according to the Old Testament, it's a time of Jacob's trouble or Israel's trouble. And then as the angel is speaking to Daniel here in chapter 9, verse 24, it is for your people, the Jews, and for your holy city, Jerusalem. Now, there is one New Testament passage which also declares what this time period is for, and that is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, but because you have kept my command to persevere, I also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world, and here it is, to test those who dwell on the earth. So what Jesus says here is that this time period, this time of tribulation, is going to test the whole world, is to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, this is not a description that means those who live on the earth, but it actually is a description of the unbelievers, those whose this is their home. The Bible says we're just passing through. Our real citizenship is in heaven. So God's going to test those whose hearts are really loyal to the Antichrist and loyal to this world. And really, this is their God, is their life and everything they're living for in this life. The tribulation period is a time to test them. That's not a description of the church. So what we find in the scripture is that the tribulation period is primarily a time where God directly pours his wrath out upon the face of the earth. But during that seven-year tribulation period, during that seven-year period of wrath, God is also bringing the nation of Israel to salvation, bringing them back to himself, as well as reclaiming the land, reclaiming the territory. And it's going to be a time that is like no other time that has ever been, where we read in Revelation 6 where people actually go into the mountains and they'll want the rocks to fall upon them so they can hide from how horrible this time is going to be. So the tribulation period, which you'll never find a scripture that applies it to the purification of the church, it's designed for the nation of Israel, for God to reclaim them, to bring salvation to them as a nation, multitudes out of that nation, as well as reclaim that territory for them. And God will do that through a seven-year period where he's pouring out his wrath, his indignation, his fury, and his judgment. That period is not designed for the church. As Paul says, we are not destined for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe the scriptures show us that the church will not be here during this tribulation period because it is not designed for us. We'll experience what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, being caught up to be with the Lord, and we'll always be with him. And we're to be comforted by that fact that the Lord's going to come at some point and rescue us. Now, the bottom line in the rapture of the church, the second coming and end times events, is to motivate us to greater holiness. So you may not understand all the issues that there are that are relating to the last days, but we should all be living a life that is ready to meet the Lord right now, because none of us are promised tomorrow. Whether the Lord comes back tomorrow or our life ends, we need to be ready to meet the Lord today. And if we live that day, if we live that way each and every day of expecting the Lord to come receive us unto himself or to be ready to meet him, it'll bring in a greater depth of purity and holiness within our life. And this is Paul, and this is John's very point in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. It says, "But now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So as you focus on the need to be ready to meet the Lord today, no matter what your viewpoint may be on the last days, you need to be ready to meet the Lord right now, right at this very second. And as you do that, it brings a purity of heart and mind and lifestyle. And to me, that's the bottom line, what I want to see happening as we look at the scriptures on the end times, that we have a greater longing for purity and holiness and a longing to be with the Lord.